Congress returns to work today after a month away. Members have only about 12 or 10, depending on how you're counting, with the Pope's visit, only that many days to pass a budget and fund the government for the upcoming fiscal year, which, as you know, starts October 1st. Otherwise, they'll have to pass a continuing resolution or risk another government shutdown. Lots of options. Todd Harrison is Director of Defense Budget Analysis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He joins me now with a preview of what we can expect over the next few days. Todd, good morning.
Good morning.
And so, first of all, you've changed think tanks. We should note that.
Yes, I have. I'm at CSIS now.
All right. Well, that's both places are well-recognized, well-regarded. And so you're looking at the defense budget again. And has anything changed in the last few days or weeks with Congress away that might affect what they're going to do? And what do you think they are going to do?
Well, you know, things have changed for me, but I don't think much has changed in Congress since they left in August to go on recess. The way the situation stands right now is, first of all, they left a lot of business undone, and so they've got a lot to do when they come back. We're still in a standoff over the budget, for the defense budget and the overall federal budget. But for defense specifically, the president requested about $35 billion more in the base defense budget than the budget caps allow. Republicans in Congress have said, you know, basically that they're not going to change those budget caps, but they do want to give the Pentagon the extra money it requested. And so they've proposed moving about $38 billion into the war funding account. War funding does not count towards the budget cap. The president has said, no deal. If you move it into war funding, first of all, I want you to, you know, have an equal increase in the non-defense side of the budget, which the Republicans are not going along with. And so the president has said, well, I will veto that if you just try to get around the budget caps by moving funding into war funding. That's where we stand right now. The Republicans have an approach that would leave the budget caps where they are but use the war funding loophole. The president has an approach that would just increase the budget caps for defense and non-defense, and they don't agree. And so at this point, the most likely thing is by October 1st, they'll pass a short-term continuing resolution to give themselves more time.
Now, so just to make sure I understand this, the president wants to increase the defense budget, but as part of the base budget, not part of the overseas contingency operations accounts.
Right. And so that's a bit of the irony here, is both sides actually agree on increasing the defense budget by about the same amount. The difference is just how they would do it. You know, the president would do it by raising the budget caps and by giving an equal increase to the non-defense side of the budget. The Republicans would do it by using war funding, but not increasing anything else. So, you know, there's a fundamental difference there. And really, you know, ultimately, this isn't about defense because they seem to agree on the level of defense spending. What they don't agree on is the non-defense side of the budget and all the other, factors that go into developing the total federal budget. They don't agree on those other things, and so that's preventing them from reaching an agreement on defense.
And so looking at the defense budgets, if it were one way or the other to go up by this $35 billion, that would take it to a base budget of about $580 billion, is that correct?
$585 billion total if you include war funding.
All right. And so what is the practical difference if the increase is in the OCO versus if it's in the base budget and the OCO is whatever it was this year?
So the practical difference is you don't have a deal in Congress, and you don't have any kind of a promise or assurance of what funding will be available next year. War funding, you know, is only appropriated one year at a time. There's no five-year plan that comes with it. And so that really is the limitation of war funding, is that, you know, it fixes the problem for this year. It gives you the additional money, but you just don't know if it's going to be available next year to continue to fix your problems. So that's really the risk. And from the administration's perspective, the other downside of using war funding to increase the defense budget is it doesn't do anything to help the non-defense side of the budget.
And so the strategic situation has changed somewhat because a year ago, ISIS didn't seem to be, for example, the big threat that it was. The situation throughout the Middle East where the U.S. has interests has deteriorated badly in the past year since the last budget. And so there has been some strategic change, China on the move more aggressively than it was a year ago. And so things seem to be closing in on the U.S. in terms of what deployments the military might have to make. And so does that seem to be dawning on anybody in Congress?
It does. But, you know, the budgetary impacts of those things, at least for now, aren't as large as you might think. You know, if you take ISIS, for example, they've got money in there to support ongoing operations to fight ISIS forces in Iraq and Syria. That was already in the war funding request. They've got funding in there for Afghanistan. They've even got funding in the war budget to reassure our European allies in the face of increased Russian aggression in Ukraine. So, you know, they've got funding in there already. What we're talking about is adding additional money here to support our peacetime level of defense spending, to support a larger force structure, modernization programs, you know, increasing the readiness of our forces, those type of activities that DoD wants to fund. So, you know, I have to admit, I'm not that optimistic that they're going to be able to work out a deal, even though both sides agree on this higher level of spending. I'm not optimistic they're going to work out a deal that gets all the way up to that level of spending.
So, in other words, the president, by putting it in the not in the OCO, but in the base budget, then removes a sort of a fig leaf for Congress to not also increase the civilian side.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, the president is just as concerned about the budget caps on the non-defense side of the budget as he is the budget caps on the defense side of the budget. And so, you know, he's proposing, you know, increasing both sides. Republicans, actually, you know, many of them favor keeping the budget caps in place because they do restrict government spending. And particularly on the non-defense side of the budget, they're not happy about the defense restrictions. And so that's why they're trying to use the war funding.
And briefly, what would cause the sequestration to kick in?
So sequestration would only be triggered if Congress does something really stupid that it doesn't look like they're going to do. It would only be triggered if Congress appropriates more money in the base budget without raising the budget caps. So DoD's share of the budget caps in 2016 is about $499 billion. So if Congress, let's just say that they took the president's request, which was $534 billion in the base budget, and they just appropriated that full amount of money, and they left the budget caps alone, that would trigger a sequester, and it would cut the difference, $35 billion, out of the defense budget.
So in it goes, and out it comes again.
Exactly. So why on earth would they appropriate more than the budget cap, knowing that it would immediately trigger a sequester that would take that amount of money out? If they're going to appropriate more than the budget cap, they're going to raise the budget cap. So it's highly unlikely sequestration is going to be triggered in 2016.
Well, I guess maybe that's the good news of the morning. Todd Harrison is Director of Defense Budget Analysis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. As always, great to have you on.
Great to be back.